Well, thank you again for the privilege, Pastor, of being here with you this morning. It is a joy to be with you. And I must start with a confession. Pastor's worried already. My confession is, I have fought a lifelong battle with the scales. Has anyone else ever had that battle? You know what the scale is. It's that demonic device that sits in our bathrooms. And you step on it and it mocks you, morning by morning. Well, I've fought that battle. It's not that I've never been on a diet. As best I can determine, well, actually, I've been on several diets, and as best I can determine, I've lost about 5,000 pounds during my lifetime. The problem is, every time I lose one of those little guys, he eventually finds his way home, and he brings some friends with him. Lost and found. I sometimes lose sunglasses. I lose umbrellas. I would occasionally misplace my keys, and so my wife bought me one of these little homing devices. You put it on your key ring, and then there's a little paging device. And you can punch the button on the paging device, and the little key fob will make a loud noise, and then you know where your keys are. But I lost the little paging device, so lost and found. Years ago, I was a youth pastor in Florida, and we decided to take our young people for a mission trip to a church plant, a new church that was being started outside of Philadelphia. And so we drove there, and we were involved with doing programs with the neighborhood children and things like that. And one afternoon, we arranged to take all of our young people in to see a Major League Baseball game. Now, I don't know if that translates well. It would be like taking all of your young people to see their very first Premier League game. And so we got there, had a wonderful time that afternoon. The game finally concluded, and by the time it concluded, afternoon had turned into evening. It was now dark. We got back in our bus, got back on the road, and it wasn't very long before we realized we had no idea where we were. Philadelphia looks different at night than it does during the day. And so we pulled over to the side, got off the highway, pulled over to the side, and I pulled out a map. Now, for you younger people, a map is a device that we used to use before you had GPS on your telephones. The one downside of a map compared to the GPS you now use is when you pull the map out, if you don't already know where you are, it doesn't help a bit. Lost and found. Some of you have perhaps lost more serious things in your lifetime. I'm sure that there are some that have lost parents, maybe lost a spouse or sibling. Maybe you've lost a friendship that was once very special, but now it seems more distant. Perhaps there are even some that have lost a sense of closeness to God. Once you had a dynamic, growing faith, and you were walking with Christ day by day, but over time things have gotten in the way, priorities have shifted, and that joy of walking with Christ is not what it once was. It may even feel like a distant memory. How would you feel if you knew that what had been lost could be found again? Well, in our text, Jesus is teaching. The sinners are gathered around to hear. They love what they are hearing, but there was another group there also. The Pharisees, the scribes, the good religious folk, and they were not nearly as excited about what Jesus was teaching. In fact, as they saw Jesus speaking to this rabble about them, they looked and they said to one another, "This man talks to sinners. He even eats with them. How can a person who has anything to do with those kind of people claim to be from God?" And Jesus proceeds to tell us three stories, three parables that illustrate an important truth. You can never be so lost that God can't find you. You can never be so lost that God can't find you. And when one who was lost is found, heaven celebrates. You see, in this text, Jesus wants us to understand something important about the kingdom of God. That God does not look at you and me the way the world does. The world looks at us and says, not so special. But God looks at us and sees something precious to him. No matter how lost we may have become, God is still seeking out, seeking to bring us home. And when we come home, there's a party. For you see, that's the pattern in the kingdom of God. Lost, found, celebrate. There are three stories here, each one about something that's been lost. A shepherd loses a sheep, one of 100 he starts out with. A woman loses a silver coin, one of 10 she started out with. A father loses a son, one of 2. Have you ever recognized how the value of the things that have been lost become progressively greater as the stories move along? The first thing lost is a sheep. Now, I was actually born on a farm, but we did not raise sheep. We raised chickens. Chickens are smarter than sheep. In fact, from all I understand and all I read, sheep are simply not the smartest animals in the barnyard. You will not go to the circus and see a trained sheep act. They're just too dumb. Sheep are also relatively defenseless. Other animals are born with sharp claws or sharp teeth to protect themselves. A lamb is as utterly defenseless as a human baby. And they are, well, they don't have a sense of direction, how to get places. You may have, I know in the U.S. we have the movies about the dog that gets lost. The family goes on vacation in California and the dog gets away from them and they can't find him and they... Sadly, they have to go back home to New York across the entire country, and they're there. But 3 weeks later, there on their doorstep is that dog panting and barking. He has climbed mountains. He has swum rivers. He's done everything he had to do to get back to his family. A sheep, on the other hand, if you drop it off a block away from where you are, he is supposed to be, he is lost forever. Dumb, defenseless, and directionless. It's no wonder that the prophet Isaiah compares us to sheep when he says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has gone to his own way. So what does the shepherd do? Does the shepherd say, well, that'll serve him right? Sheep wanders off, let him suffer. Or does the sheep say, you know, we're in the shepherding business. There's always a certain amount of depreciation. We'll just write this one off on our taxes. No. The shepherd leaves the 99 where they are, and he goes off in search of that one lost sheep. And when he finds that lost sheep, what does he do? He comes back, he calls his friends together, and he says, rejoice, I have found my lost sheep. It's time for a party. Lost, found, celebrate. There's a second story. This one is about a woman who loses a coin. She starts out with 10 silver coins. She loses one of them. And she now begins a major search and rescue operation. She gets out the Dyson vacuum cleaner. She pulls out the lights. She's looking for everything to try to find this lost coin. Now, why is she so concerned about one coin? Well, it is 10% of her money. That's nothing to sneeze at. And in that time, one silver coin represented about a day's wages. And so you lose some money like that, perhaps the family goes hungry for a day. But I actually think it's something more than that. You see, in that day, there was a tradition that on a woman's wedding day, she would be given 10 silver coins. They were part of her dowry. She would be given those coins, and those 10 silver coins would be woven into the headdress that she would wear as part of her wedding. And so there's more than a monetary value here. There's a sentimental value to her. It would be as if all the pictures of your children or grandchildren were burned up or lost. It's not that the paper and the frames have no value, but that's not what you'd be concerned about. There's that meaning in those things. And so she begins, she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, she does everything she can do until she finally finds that coin. And once she finds the coin, what does she do? She calls her friends and neighbors. She says, I have found my lost coin. It's time for a party. Lost, found, celebrate. There's a third story, and it's probably the most well-known of all of Jesus' parables. If you've got your Bible open, look with me again to Luke chapter 15 and begin reading in verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had. And he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. This time it's not a sheep that's lost. This time it's not a coin, it's a son, and he leaves on purpose. But even though he makes a purposeful decision to leave, he's just as lost. Now under Jewish law, with this family with two sons, when the father dies, the elder son would receive 2/3 of the estate, the younger son would receive 1/3. But one day this young son comes into his father and says, Dad, let's just pretend you're dead. I want what I have coming to me. Well, obviously, Dad could have just kicked him out of the house. But instead, his father does what he asks. He takes his share of the estate and he gives it to him. And pretty soon, with a pocket full of money, Junior is off for the bright lights in the big city. Now, one of the things that we discover, if you've ever had a pocket full of money, you'll discover you have friends. As long as you have money in your pocket, you will have friends. They are there to help you spend your money. It's very nice of them. But once the money is gone, the friends are gone too. And Junior finds himself lost and broke and eating with the pigs. He's reached the lowest level a Jewish man could reach. And finally, it says he came to himself. He comes to his senses. He says, even my dad's servants eat better than this. I know my place in the family is gone. I know I've thrown that away. But I'll go back and see if he will accept me as a servant. And so he heads home. And along the way, he's memorizing this little speech that he can give to his father when he gets there. Now, interestingly enough, years before Jesus, the rabbis told a similar story. They told a story about a young man, a son, who spent his father's money wastefully. And when it was all gone, he came home. And in the rabbi's story, when the son comes home, the father kicks him out. And so, as the Pharisees hear Jesus start to tell this story, well, they know how this story ends. But when Jesus tells the story, there's a surprise ending. Instead of rejecting the lost son, the father comes running to meet him. He puts a robe on his back, ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, all symbols of being family. Junior starts to give his little speech about being a servant, and his father says, be quiet. You may have been lost, but you never stopped being my son. And with that, the father calls everyone together and says, it's time for a party. Lost, found, celebrate. Years ago, Ernest Hemingway wrote a story about a father and son that in Spain, they had a tough relationship. The father was stubborn, the son was rebellious. They were just at each other all of the time. Finally, as he got old enough, the son took off and left. And for years, there was no contact. As the years went by, the father realized he loved his son. He wanted to connect with him. And he started looking for him, but he could not find his son anywhere. Finally, in desperation, he went into Madrid to the newspaper. He put an ad in the paper. The ad said, Paco, all is forgiven. Meet me at the newspaper office at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Love, your father. The next day, the father shows up, only to find 60 young men, all named Paco, all hoping to find their father's forgiveness. I've got good news for you. You don't have to wait. He's been looking for you all of this time. He wants you to come home. There's a party waiting for you to get there. Well, you remember the story. There was one person in the family who was not nearly as excited to see Junior come home. The older brother had been out in the fields working. When he comes home, he sees this celebration underway. And once he finds out what has happened, he is angry. He pulls the father aside and he says, all this time, I've done my duty. All this time I've done what I was supposed to do. You didn't even give me a goat to cook for my friends. But now this no good son of yours, he doesn't say my brother, this no good son of yours comes home. And now there's a feast. Do you think the Pharisees knew that Jesus was talking about them? Do we know? He could be talking about some of us. Because these were people who talked about God, who studied about God, but they did not understand what God was like. They didn't realize he is a God who seeks and saves the lost, no matter how lost they are. They didn't realize he is a God who will reach down into the deepest gutter and save a man or woman and transform their lives. They didn't realize he's a God who celebrates when one who is lost has been found. They didn't realize you can never be so lost that God can't find you. The father says to the older brother, you could have had a party anytime you wanted. Why didn't you ask? You see, there are older brother Christians who are out there busy trying to make sure, they're so busy trying to make sure everyone else shapes up. They forget to celebrate the grace of God in their own lives. God is throwing a party. But instead of joining in the celebration, the older brother Christians are sitting outside with a calculator, figuring out how much this thing must have cost. Did you hear about the man that scrimped and saved for several years to try to buy an ocean voyage? He finally made enough. He bought his ticket. He got on the ship. And each evening, as the dining room filled up with people, the beautiful plates, the fragrant aromas, he would walk by the dining room. He would watch what was going on. He would smell the aromas, and then he would go back to his stateroom where he would pull out the cheese and crackers that he had brought with him on the trip and he'd make himself a little meal. Well, finally, the cruise went along. The cheese got old. Crackers were gone. And the day before the cruise was over, he goes back to the dining room. He goes to the steward who was standing outside the door. He says, sir, I'm getting hungry. Would it be possible when these people have finished their dinner, could I perhaps have some of the leftovers? The steward looked at him with a puzzled expression. He said, sir, didn't you realize when you bought a ticket, everything was included, including the food? All of this time, he could have been feasting instead of fasting. You didn't buy a ticket for the Christian life. Jesus bought it for you. You and I could not have afforded to buy that ticket. But he gave it to us as a gift. And everything is included. And if you and I miss out on the joy of the journey, it's because we don't show up for the party. What do these stories tell us about God? They remind us it is in the character of God to seek out those who are lost. Jesus says the same thing in Luke 19. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And the story of the lost sheep reminds us, if you had been the only one lost in all the world, Jesus would have come and died for you. In fact, there could be someone here today. God has been searching for you. He's been looking for you, calling you home. I'll never forget the time my sons are here. I'm delighted they're now 21 and 17. But I remember when they were 7 and 3. And we were at the mall at the children's clothing store. At that age, pretty much every other day, they're outgrowing something that they're wearing. And you have to buy some more clothes. And we were there looking at clothes. And all at once we realized that Stephen, our 3-year-old, was nowhere to be found. So we assumed he'd perhaps wandered back to the dressing room. We went back and looked there, calling his name. He wasn't there. Checked the manager's office. He wasn't there. Now Dad is beginning to get a little frantic. We're calling him, no response. Finally, go to the manager. They call the mall security. They implement what they call a lost child protocol. Security guards start going to the various entrances to make sure that nobody takes a child out. And I am a nervous wreck. And all at once, behind me, I hear a little voice saying, "Here I am." He had decided it would be fun to hide in a rack of clothes and see how long it would take us to find him. I wanted to hug him and hit him at the same time. He had been lost. Now he was found. And I felt about 10 years older. But I think at that moment I understood just a bit of what God feels when one of us comes home. Lost, found, celebrate. Do you have anything to celebrate today? If you're in Christ, if you've given your life to Christ in faith and repentance, you have so much to celebrate. You have forgiveness of sins to celebrate. Your account has been wiped clean, paid by the one who went to a cross and paid the debt on your behalf. You have a new relationship with God to celebrate. You're no longer estranged from your Creator. Now you have been adopted as a child of God. And you have eternity to celebrate. Because the same Jesus who on that first Easter Sunday emerged victorious from the tomb, he promised that he brought us with him to share in his victory over death. When you are in Christ, you are no longer lost. You are forever found, forever secure in the Father's hands. There could be someone listening to me right now who's not yet experienced that grace in your own life. And even now, God's Spirit is tugging at your heart, calling you home. I've got good news. Jesus is waiting for you. His arms are reaching to you. He invites you to the party. You may be lost, but you can be found. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. You can never be so lost that God can't find you. Won't you come to the party? He is waiting for you to come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We did not deserve it. We cannot earn it. But Father, how we thank you that in your love and your grace, you have given to us salvation. And Father, right now, if there are those who've never come to experience that grace, then I pray, Lord, that this would be a moment of decision and commitment for them. And Father, if there's one who came to you in the past, but they've let things get in the way, they've lost that sense of closeness to you, Heavenly Father, I pray that today could be a day of renewal and recommitment for them. In whatever way, God, you lead, draw us to you. Let your Spirit work. For we ask it in Jesus' name.